Hey, future doctors. Thanks for tuning in to Spoonful of Sugar, a podcast made for medical students by medical students to help the medicine go down. My name is Andrea Chen. I'm a student at Morehouse School of Medicine, and I'll be your host today. Today's topic will be on bone tumors. Bone tumors can be a lot to keep track of, especially with their different radiographic findings, age groups affected, and locations that they can arise in the skeleton. Additionally, their names all kind of sound similar, and most of them start with O. So I'll try my best to help you remember their high-yield facts when it comes to test day. Before we dive into the different tumors, I think it's important to review basic bone anatomy, just so we have a better context for these tumors when we're discussing all their characteristics. So there are five types of bones. Long bones are the ones in your arms and legs. They include your femur, humerus, ulna and radius, fibula and tibia, as well as your metacarpals and phalanges. Adult long bones are made up of three regions: the diaphysis, which is the long cylindrical shaft of the bone; the epiphysis, which is the proximal or distal end of long bones that contain the articular surface of the bones; and the metaphysis, which is the transitional area between the epiphysis and diaphysis. In children, the epiphyseal plate, or growth plate, is located between the epiphysis and metaphysis of the long bones, and that's where linear bone growth occurs. Then, around puberty, these growth plates start to close. Other types of bones include short bones, which include tarsal and carpal bones in your ankles and wrists, and flat bones, which include the scapula, the sternum, ribs, and most bones of the skull; sesamoid bones, which are bones that develop within tendons, such as your patella; and irregular bones, such as the sacrum, vertebrae, and mandible. Quick question. Which of the three germ cell layers does bone form from? So it forms from mesoderm. Mesoderm then forms mesenchyme, and then mesenchymal stem cells derived from this mesenchyme differentiate into the cartilage and bone cells that contribute to and make up bone tissue. Bone cells include osteoblasts, osteocytes, and osteoclasts. Osteoblasts are the bone building cells that secrete osteoid, which is organic bone matrix. Osteocytes are the mature cells that maintain the mineral concentration of the matrix. They're basically osteoblasts that get entrapped within the bone matrix. Osteoclasts are bone resorbing cells that mobilize and degrade bone matrix. These are multinucleated and are derived from monocytes. Thus, osteoclasts are not formed from the same mesenchymal lineage as osteoblasts. Bones form from two key methods: endochondral ossification and intramembranous ossification. Endochondral ossification involves first forming a hyaline cartilage model, which is then replaced by bony tissue. Most bones, including long bones, are formed in this manner. The epiphyseal plate in long bones, as mentioned previously, is where endochondral ossification occurs as children's long bones grow longer. Intramembranous ossification involves the replacement of mesenchymal connective tissue directly with bony tissue. Certain flat bones and some irregular bones form by this process. The layers of mature bone include cortical bone, which is the hard outer layer, and cancellous bone, which is the inner sponge-like bone. Long bones have an inner medullary cavity as well, where yellow bone marrow is found. Now, getting back to the main topic of bone tumors. So bone tumors can be primary or metastatic. Primary bone tumors originate directly within the bone, while metastatic bone tumors started elsewhere in the body and metastasized to the bone. Within primary bone tumors, they can be categorized as being benign or malignant. Benign bone tumors make up the majority of bone tumors. Many can be asymptomatic and are usually discovered as an incidental lesion. However, they can present with pain. Primary malignant bone tumors are rare, accounting for less than 1% of all cancers, according to the American Cancer Society. But they are a significant cause of cancer morbidity and mortality, especially among young people. They commonly present as a progressive, localized pain that worsens at night or with physical activity, and is often accompanied by swelling. We'll start off talking about the benign bone tumors, and I'll separate them into primarily osseous benign tumors and the cartilaginous benign tumors. The osseous ones include osteomas, osteoid osteomas, osteoblastomas, and giant cell tumors. And the cartilaginous ones include osteochondromas and chondromas. Then we'll move on to the three main malignant, also known as cancerous, bone tumors. And these are osteosarcoma, Ewing sarcoma, and chondrosarcoma. The list isn't exhaustive. There's also cysts and other things that can be categorized with bone tumors, but we'll just hit the high-yield ones you should probably know for test day. And of note, multiple myeloma is also not technically a primary bone cancer because it originates in plasma cells within the bone marrow and not the bone itself. Okay, starting off with our benign bone tumors, the primarily osseous ones. Our first tumor is osteoma. What are osteomas? They are well-defined solitary tumors, usually with a diameter less than 1 centimeter, that arises from osteoblasts. They are most common in middle-aged individuals, but they may develop at any age. Where in the skeleton do osteomas typically arise? The answer is facial bones and cranial bones, especially the paranasal sinuses, and very rarely the long bones. They are often asymptomatic, but they can cause congestion and pressure headaches when they develop in the paranasal sinuses, as mentioned. Here's another question. What syndrome are osteomas associated with? The answer is Gardner syndrome. Gardner syndrome is a subtype of familial adenomatous polyposis associated with bony and soft tissue tumors. And a mnemonic I just made up to help remember osteomas and that they occur in the skull is that osteoma is one word and it's a smaller name compared to the other tumors we'll discuss later. And it has one big letter O. This O reminds me of the shape of a head or face. And humans have one head, and their heads are usually smaller than the rest of their body. So that's how I try to remember osteomas. The next two tumors, osteoid osteoma and osteoblastoma, are very similar, but need to be distinguished on exams. Osteoid osteoma is a benign cortical tumor of osteoblasts, which produce osteoid, surrounded by a rim of reactive bone, which is new bone growth in response to abnormal bone tissue. Who does osteoid osteoma typically affect? Osteoid osteoma typically affects young adults less than 25 years, more commonly males. And where are osteoid osteomas typically found? Usually in the metaphysis and diaphysis of long bones, such as the femur. They present as constant, intense pain that worsens at night. And here's a high-yield question. Does the bone pain associated with osteoid osteomas respond to NSAIDs, such as ibuprofen and aspirin? The answer is yes. This is a very important differentiating factor with the osteoblastomas that we'll talk about later, so make sure you keep it in mind. And on imaging, you would see a bony mass with a radiolucent core of osteoid. How big would this bony mass typically be? Would it be greater than or less than 2 centimeters? The answer is less than 2 centimeters. The mnemonic that you can use to remember osteoid osteomas is you can think of the pain in osteoid osteome is being cooled by NSAIDs. The word cooled having two O's in it, similar to osteoid osteoma. Moving on to the very similar osteoblastoma. So osteoblastomas are very similar. They are also a cortical tumor of osteoblasts affecting the same population, which is young adults less than 25. However, they are larger, being greater than 2 centimeters. And do you know where they typically arise in the skeleton? The answer is the vertebrae. And here's another high-yield question. You should be able to deduce the answer. Does the severe chronic localized pain of osteoblastomas respond to NSAIDs? No, it does not. This is very different from the osteoid osteomas, and you should remember this to be able to differentiate them when it comes to answering questions. To remember that osteoblastomas arise in the vertebrae, you can link the B in osteoblastoma and the B in vertebrae. Also, to remember that it does not respond to NSAIDs, it remains painful. You can think of osteoblastomas being blasted by pain. Now let's move on to the next benign tumor, which is the giant cell tumor, otherwise known as osteoclastomas. These are aggressive but non-cancerous tumors comprised of multinucleated giant cells that resemble osteoclasts, hence the name. They typically arise in young adults aged 20 to 40 years old. Where do they typically occur? That would be the metaphysis or epiphysis of long bones, usually the distal femur or proximal tibia, which is around the area of the knee. And it presents usually as localized pain and swelling, and they can also present as pathological fractures. Here's a high-yield question. What would you see on imaging? The answer is you would see a soap bubble appearance on X-ray. And this is due to the increased osteoclast-like activity causing all these lytic lesions on the bone. So remember the phrase, soap bubble appearance. A mnemonic to remember this is, I kind of just think of these giant bubbles resembling giant cells bunched together. And I kind of just remember that it's near the ends of the bones because that's where it's widest and that's where most bubbles can fit. It's kind of a mental image for me to remember giant cell tumors and their soap bubble appearance. And they are locally aggressive and they may reoccur. However, they're generally benign and don't metastasize. So we just finished discussing the osseous benign bone tumors. And now we're going to talk about the benign bone tumors with a cartilaginous component. We'll start off with a question. What is the most common benign tumor of bone? On X-ray, this tumor shows as a pedunculated or sessile lesion on the surface of the metaphysis of long bones. The answer would be osteochondroma. Osteochondromas are bony outgrowths with an overlying cartilage cap, typically occurring at the metaphysis of long bones. They typically affect males aged 10 to 30 years old, and they're usually asymptomatic, but they can be painful and palpable near the ends of long bones. In only 1% of cases, the overlying cartilage can actually transform to the malignant chondrosarcoma, which will be discussed later. Next, we'll talk about chondromas, and they're usually referred to as N-chondromas because that's the most common subtype, the prefix being N because it occurs inside medullary cavities of bones of the hands and feet. N-chondromas are tumors of mature cartilage, and they typically arise in people of 20 to 50 years of age, but they can occur at any age. Again, as mentioned, they usually arise in the medullary cavities of long bones of the hands and feet, particularly the metacarpals and phalanges. They're usually asymptomatic, but they can also present as pathologic fractures. And imaging shows a well-defined lucent medullary lesion. So we just finished discussing all the benign bone tumors, and now we'll talk about the malignant ones. And there are three of them that you should know. Here's a question. What is the most common type of bone cancer? The answer is osteosarcomas. So osteosarcomas are malignant proliferations of osteoblasts. They typically have a bimodal age distribution, where the peak incidence is seen in which age group? The answer is teenagers. And then they are also less common, but also present in the elderly. Risk factors for osteosarcomas include familial retinoblastomas, Paget disease, and radiation exposure. Where do osteosarcomas typically arise? The answer is the metaphysis of long bones. This is where the bone is growing quickly in these teenagers that they affect, usually the distal femur or proximal tibia, which is, again, the area around the knee. Osteosarcomas present as a pathologic fracture or bone pain with swelling, and the pain is progressive and worsens at night. Osteosarcomas are characterized by rapid growth and cortical destruction, as well as what high-yield appearance on imaging? The answer is a sunburst appearance and lifting of the periosteum, otherwise known as Codman triangle. I suggest you look up images of what these look like because I've seen test questions that have these images in the question and then ask you what kind of tumor it is. And on biopsy, you see pleomorphic cells that produce osteoid. Osteosarcoma has an aggressive course and poor prognosis. It commonly metastasizes to the lungs. Next, we'll discuss Ewing sarcoma. Ewing sarcomas are malignant proliferations of poorly differentiated cells derived from neuroectoderm. Where do they typically arise? So they typically arise in the diaphysis of long bones. And what age group do they typically affect? They typically affect male children less than 15 years of age. And what do you see on imaging for Ewing sarcoma? This is high yield. You would see onion skin appearance on X-ray, which occurs when multiple layers of bone form in a concentric circle around the outer surface of the bone, typically around the diaphysis. Biopsy reveals small, round blue cells of neuroectodermal origin that resemble lymphocytes. And what is the translocation that is characteristic of Ewing sarcoma? The answer is an 11-22 translocation. So Ewing sarcoma frequently first manifests with localized pain that is progressive and worsens at night. It also presents with B symptoms, which include fever, weight loss, and night sweats. These symptoms are common. And because of this presentation with the fever, Ewing sarcoma can be confused with lymphoma or chronic osteomyelitis. So the mnemonic to remember Ewing sarcoma is onion rings and chicken wings, because Ewing sarcoma appears as onion skinning on imaging, and wings is in the name Ewing. The 11-22 translocation, as mentioned, is also like a mirror image, similar to this rhyme. Ewing sarcoma is extremely aggressive and often presents with early metastasis. It's usually responsive to chemotherapy. The last malignant bone tumor we'll discuss is chondrosarcoma. Chondrosarcomas are malignant tumors arising from mesenchymal cells that produce cartilage. Here's a question. Who do chondrosarcomas typically affect? The answer is males, usually greater than 50 years of age. And this is different compared to the previous two cancers that affect teenagers and children more. Chondrosarcomas typically arise in the medulla of the pelvis or central skeleton, and they present with deep, dull pain that worsens at night, which is typical of bone cancers, and they're accompanied by local swelling and pathologic fractures. Compared to osteosarcomas and Ewing sarcomas, chondrosarcomas tend to have an insidious course over months to years. And on X-ray, we can see lytic lesions resembling a moth-eaten appearance. So that concludes all the primary bone tumors. And I also wanted to touch on the metastatic tumors. So in adults, cancers that spread to the bone from other organs, which is known as bone metastases, are much more common than the primary bone cancers. And these metastatic tumors usually result in osteolytic or punched-out lesions in the bone, with the exception of prostatic carcinoma, which produces osteoblastic lesions. So the primary tumors that commonly metastasize to the bone can be ranked and remembered with a mnemonic PBKTL, which is read as lead kettle because PB stands for lead. The letters themselves stand for prostate, breast, kidney, thyroid, and lung, with prostatic and breast tumors being the most common to metastasize to bone in men and women respectively. Okay, now for a quick summary. We started off with the benign bone tumors, which include osteoma, osteoid osteoma, osteoblastoma, giant cell tumors, and then osteochondroma and chondromas. And then we also talked about the three main malignant bone tumors, which are osteosarcoma, Ewing sarcoma, and chondrosarcoma. We also briefly touched on bone metastases from cancers from other parts of the body, which are a lot more common than primary bone tumors. All right. Now let's try some rapid-fire questions to test your knowledge. First question, which tumor responds to NSAIDs such as aspirin? That's osteoid osteoma. Second question, what is the most common benign tumor of bone? That would be osteochondroma. And what's the most common bone malignancy? That would be osteosarcoma. Which tumor usually arises in the vertebrae and does not respond to aspirin? That would be osteoblastoma. And which tumors that we discussed usually occur near the knee area? That would be osteosarcomas and giant cell tumors. Which tumor appears on X-ray most commonly as a sunburst appearance in Codman's triangle? That would be osteosarcoma. Which bone tumor presents with onion skinning appearance on X-ray? That would be Ewing sarcoma. And then what part of the bone does Ewing sarcoma usually occur at? That would be the diaphysis. Remember, because onion skinning usually happens around the shaft of the bone, which is the diaphysis. And then which tumor arises in facial bones and can cause congestion? That would be osteoma. And which tumor is a bony outgrowth with an overlying cartilage cap? The answer is osteochondroma. And which cancer has a bimodal distribution, but most usually affects teenagers? That would be osteosarcoma. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, visit our website at spoonfulofsugar.org and post them under the link for this episode. Good luck with studying, and remember that if you ever have an SOS moment while studying, Spoonful of Sugar is always here to help the medicine go down.